The sermon is based on the teaching of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And to start out with our meditation, I reread the first two verses of Psalm 91, which we said, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen." You may be seated. If you would like that one insert that had the response of prayer on one side, the other side has a few sermon notes if you'd like to follow along. It's interesting to me that Trinity Sunday and Memorial Weekend are timing. The timing is just comes together. There's something very important that we live in a country that acknowledges God, but of course allows for teaching of Christianity. But to be Christian, you know Jesus Christ, not just that there is a God, but that there is his Son, Jesus Christ, who has died and risen for us. And both parts are important. To know that there is a God at all, and to also know that this God has loved us through Jesus Christ. And in our nation and in our military, and what our military chaplains do is, on one hand, is to know that there is a God. And then as Christians and as pastors, we give that good news. This God loves us in Jesus Christ. And I thought today it would be good just to kind of think through again these two things that are important to know, these two ways of knowing God. There's two kinds of knowledge about God. And this is straight from Scripture. There's something what we call the natural knowledge about God. And that is that natural knowledge, all people can know that there is a God, a creator God. And we talk not just Christians. We know people who maybe worship idols, Muslims, Hindus. All there's evidence that there is a God. And this is called the natural knowledge of God. That's the name sometimes it's called. For instance, I read from Romans chapter 1, Paul wrote, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse." This is the knowledge of the Creator, and Paul clearly says, in other places in Scripture says, people can know that there is a God because you see the beauty and the power of creation, the order of creation, and you know somebody made it. A power has made it. This is knowledge of the Creator. All people have access to this knowledge. Jesus mentions in Matthew 5 that all people are blessed by the Creator and should acknowledge him. And in that passage, he says, "For God makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and on the unjust." You know that when it rains, it doesn't stop or start at the edge of a Christian's field. The rain is on the Christian side and on the non-Christian side. It rains. And Jesus said, God says, sends the rain on the good and the evil, on the just and the unjust alike. He blesses all people with rain. And with many other things, he gives all people. This, again, is a knowledge of God that all people can have. And the Bible is so clear that this teaching is available to all people that, for instance, in Psalm 14, anybody who denies the existence of God is called a fool. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. We remember from Jesus' teachings that we do not use that word fool lightly. He says, don't call anybody a fool. That is a harsh thing to say to somebody. But Scripture says, but if you don't see that there is a Creator who has made all things, that person is a fool. And you can read all of Psalm 14, and it goes on and talks about that. So there is the creation around us, the powers, the energy, the beauty of people, of animals, of plants, of the universe. There is a designer, the Creator. And then there is also the revealed knowledge. That's kind of helpful because I have the word revealed in there a couple of times. But revealed means that you didn't know it. It has to be shown to you. God has to show you, reveal you this knowledge about Him. And that revealed knowledge is the gospel. The Scriptures say you can look around and see evidence of the creation. And Paul says there's no excuse. All should know that there's a Creator. But that He sent Jesus, who died and rose again. That's a specific message. That's the revealed message. Sometimes it's called the special knowledge. That's the one we need to know, that God has loved us and forgives us in Jesus Christ. It's interesting because in Ephesians 2, which I note there, Paul wrote to those Ephesians, those Christians in Ephesus, in his letter to the Ephesians. And he talks about their former life and then how they changed. He says, and starting in verse 1, 2, and 3, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air. They were following the devil. The spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind, all mankind. Though there is a Creator, you don't have forgiveness. But then he says in verse 4, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together by Christ. By grace you have been saved. That's that special gift, that special knowledge, the revealed knowledge of God, that in Christ we are saved. So when we have our Christmas services, when we have our Lent services, when we have our Easter services, all these have to do about the special knowledge, the revealed knowledge of God, that the Creator has sent us His Son to die and rise for us. So Christian witness points out these both kinds of knowledge. We as Christians can point out both these things when we talk to people and in our lives and think about it in our own lives. The Creator God can even be acknowledged by unbelievers. You tell people, this is an amazing plant. This is an amazing weather. This is an amazing season that we have. Doesn't this make us think about who made all this, the Creator who made all this? To point out the Creator God is one thing that we can do. This is one reason I read those first two verses for Psalm 91. Verse 1 said, He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High, the one who looks to the Most High, the Creator God, will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Do we want to have His protection, the one who made the stars, the one who made the plants, the one who made the animals, the one who made me? I want to be protected by Him. And we can share that with others. And all people need to know that there's a Creator God. And they're not gods themselves. That, remember, was the first temptation. Remember, the devil, the snake, said to Eve, oh, you can be like God. knowing good and evil. That was a temptation, to think we are like God. But in fact, to know that there's a creator outside of me who has made all these things, that's a blessed thing to know. And then the second thing, the revealed knowledge. That is the Christian witness, to know that this creator God has loved us in his son, Jesus. And as a Christian, you can witness both things. You can talk about the creator God that all people can know. Muslims and Hindus and atheists, if they would think deeply about it, they wouldn't be atheists. And then you can talk about the Son, Jesus, who was sent to suffer, die, and rise for us. Two types of knowledge Scripture tells us about. And we as Christians have the opportunities to witness and bear witness to both those things. That's one of the pleasures that Paul has and opportunities he has, he mentioned it. Even to non-Christians as a chaplain, they know they can talk to a Christian chaplain and they can talk about God. Even if they don't really believe in Jesus, they can still go to the chaplain and talk about God. And that's a wonderful thing. But we also, in our everyday lives, we can bear witness to God as the creator of all things and also Jesus as the Savior. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, we give you thanks and praise that you have revealed your creation to us, that you supply food for us, that you make the seasons run, and you are in control of the secrets that we are only learning or we are even mistaken about. We don't know everything of the universe. You do. And help us to know then, Father, also that in Jesus our sins are forgiven and we can stand before you and we are your sons and daughters in the name of Jesus. These two things, these two ways of knowing you, help it, but put it deep into our minds and hearts and then also to share it with others. In the name of Jesus, we pray to you. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The congregation is invited to stand. And if you don't want to stand during the Athanasian Creed, you can sit too. But you're invited to stand. And we're going to read through the Athanasian Creed, which teaches us and helps us think about the Scripture's teaching of the Holy Trinity.